All right. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Trust Your Gut podcast. Erica Smith and myself, Nicole Carter. And today we're talking about exercise.
And gut health. Movement, gut health.
I think people have no idea that they are actually connected. What do you think?
I don't think that they realize how connected they are. They might think, you know, that there is maybe possibly some connection. Even when I first started, I thought, I mean, it helps me go to the restroom, but I didn't realize all the other stuff.
Right. I never realized it. I think I spent my younger years, I was a runner and definitely needs to go to the bathroom, but I don't ever had any concept. Of course, at that point, I didn't have any concept of gut health and that anything impacted it and that gut health impacted anything else, but we're learning a whole lot different than that, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think movement is important for a ton of different things, but the connection there is really cool to discuss for sure.
Definitely. All right. Well, do you want to kick us off with kind of our highlights and what we're going to dig into about what about exercise?
For sure. Yeah. So today I really wanted to take a little broad look at what is movement to begin with, you know, what you consider movement, what I consider movement. If there's any literature out there that we want to bring out that says what movement is. Why we think that movement is important and why we think maybe the people listening should think that it's important, and what you and I do personally and what we maybe tell our clients to do for, you know, achieving the movement in their lives. So we can start off with what do you consider as movement in your life or for your clients? What do you consider as movement?
Yeah. You know, I think in right now, I think anything besides sitting on your butt is movement. I think about this like, wow, people really think they have to work. I'm saying air quotes here, work out really hard. And I don't particularly feel that that's totally necessary. I mean, I guess we're all in a different space, but I think movement can be anything that where we're active or up and about. Like some examples I'll give our gardening, swimming, mm-hmm. walking on the beach, cleaning the house. I think things that are overlooked and not considered per se workout, but as you mentioned, the key word is movement.
Right. So, you know, when I think of movement, in my perspective, I always think of anything that increases your heart rate to a degree. It develops the growth or maintenance of muscle. And then, you know, you make use of the glucose in your blood. That, to me, anything that does those qualifies as movement. But the scientists out there, the researchers, they like to label stuff. And so I think that there is, within movement, there are two things that people can talk about and can look at. And one is physical activity. And then the other one is what we call exercise. So a lot of people have a very sedentary lifestyle, which means they're not doing a lot of physical activity, which is what a lot of the things that you spoke of, like, are you gardening? Are you cleaning your house? Are you paying somebody else to do that? Are you standing at your desk? Are you going to get the mail instead of sending your kids to get the mail? Taking the stairs when you can. That's sort of what I consider more of that physical activity. And I think the more you can live a physically active lifestyle, you know, the better you will be. But I still consider exercise as something that is important to have in your life. But I don't think that you need to be going to CrossFit 5 times a week mm-hmm. or anything like that. I think that still exercise within that can be very achievable to do something that's planned and structured and repetitive. And when you put those things in, then you are qualifying that movement as an actual exercise.
Yeah. And don't you think that people are always at a different level? Like I know, I don't know about you, but my clients are all totally in a different space as far as their ability and what they can and can't do and what's too much. What do you think about that? Do you find that with your clients?
Absolutely. With 100% of them. I mean, I deal with clients that are in their 20s and I deal with clients that are in their 70s. So, and surprisingly enough, my 70-year-old is very, very physically active and does as well a lot of exercise. So she has a lot of mobility, but you know, when I started with my 20 some year old, she was not very physically active and she definitely did not exercise. So introducing those important, right? And yeah, so it doesn't really matter. People think, you know, when you're young, you're moving, it doesn't matter. You know, if you're not doing it at your 20s, you can still start. If you're not doing it in your 70s, you can still start. You might be hurting yourself in your 70s because you're doing too much, which is a lot of what I found with my other clients.
Right.
Like we're pushing a little bit too hard, or we're doing it at the wrong times or the wrong exercise. And, you know, so that is, you know, definitely important. So everybody is completely different, and I'm different. You know, everybody's always like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm certainly not in CrossFit. I'll tell you that right now.
No, thank you. You know what? You brought up a good point is, you mentioned the inactivity, and I think that movement is so important, but also on the opposite side of the coin, inactivity is so very bad. I mean, yeah. Being sedentary, I mean, they've mentioned, you know, you've heard the sitting is the new smoking. And I really think there's a lot of truth to that, that just being sedentary. And I thought of some more things here as we're talking about, you know, why is movement so important? And, but also to say that why is sedentary or being inactive so dangerous?
Right.
You know, one of the things that people do when they sit all day is their fluids in their body become super stagnant. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have our people love this detox word, right? It's like right. a buzzword. But really, your body does it all on its own. And one of the fluids in your body that gets cleaned out is the lymphatic fluid, right? Mm-hmm. You've got yep. lymph nodes like in the joints of your armpits and in the hip crease and in the areas that you would be moving if you were just active in some way that keeps those things flowing. So, you know, I think that there's so many ways to slice this up that, yes, big picture, like we need to move more, but people, I don't think understand the real impact of being sedentary and why
yeah, and
sick.
Absolutely. And so that can definitely drive us down to our second point, which is, you know, why is movement important, right? So that is an excellent reason as to why movement is important. If we don't have proper muscle strength mm-hmm. too, you know, our lymph system doesn't move itself. It has no yeah. other than gravity, right? But in order to pull it up, we need that muscle strength mm-hmm. to be able to get that up there. And that is done through movement and right. muscle.
Right.
We don't move, we don't have muscle, we can't move without it. It's all so connected to it. We can't detox properly. All of those things are super connected. And yes, I think when we talked about, I don't think people know the yeah. connection or the importance of movement.
And also the hormonal component. If we think of
that's a whole different episode.
If we think of, you know, what really bothers people's guts, what happens in the gut that like, what's the primary driver? And it's inflammation, right?
Right.
So if we also go, well, back that up, what causes inflammation? Toxins, bad food, but also stress. And what part of stress is problematic? Well, it's not just, you know, it's not just that we're busy, it's the perceived stress and also the physiological stress on the body. So lots of ways to cut that down. But ultimately, you know, we can be stressed out from inactivity, or we can mm-hmm. be stressed out from too much activity.
Exactly. That balance and that Goldilocks, you know, sweet spot is very interesting, and it's definitely different for everybody. Like we mentioned, you know, my Goldilocks is different than what your Goldilocks is. And, you know, for the 70-year-old and the 20-year-old that I see as well. So yeah. super, super important to find that.
So I'm changing my screen right now to try to share screen on, let's see if this works here.
So while you pull that up, Nicole, I know that I think we're going to look at maybe a research that you found on here.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And so, you know, I wanted to point out too, as we're doing this research, that obviously there's research studies, or in research studies, the physical active mice that they had in studies when they do these, we have found that they contain more lactobacillus bacteria.
Yes.
Which you and I have talked about before on here, but, you know, in conjunction with the bifidobacterium, it has known to enhance nutrient absorption, right? Lower cholesterol levels, prevent heart disease, exert anti-inflammatory responses. And so while we might not quite understand how and why this happens, the evidence of it happening is clear. It's overwhelming. You cannot fight this. So movement is important related to our gut, just starting with that. And that's just the one research, right? That you can come across tons of research on that.
Yeah, I think, research is very abundant. There's a ton of exercise research out there. And I always take it all with a grain of salt because, you know, as you mentioned, they're mostly on rats. They're also mostly in human trials and human studies, they're mostly on men. So
yeah.
There are a lot of things about research that can be skewed, but I think it's still interesting to look at. You mentioned, so one of the research articles I found that actually came out recently, last year, August 2020, in the American Journal of Physiology, Gastrointestinal and Liver Physiology. The title of the paper was Exercise and Intestinal Permeability, Another Form of Exercise-Induced Hormesis.
So
this kind of points to the good and bad, and I won't go through the entire article, but you can pull up I'll put it in the notes here, but the abstract basically points out that it has been long known that aerobic exercise at a variety of intensities and durations induces intestinal permeability, which is a feature of many pathologies of the gastrointestinal tract and metabolic diseases. And for those of you that are not familiar with gut permeability, we've said it before, but that is the AKA leaky gut.
So I think to paraphrase what Nicole was saying with the research is that too much exercise or certain levels of exercise on different people will cause leaky gut.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that threshold is so variable.
Yep.
And that's why I think it's dangerous to just take a piece of research and reduce it so much that we're not saying that exercise is going to damage your gut. What we're saying is that, and what this research is saying is that threshold might be different for different people. And I think it comes down to how much stress are we under? So this is kind of what I have in mind is, let's say that, Erica goes out to do a 15 minute jog, right? Mm-hmm. She's very athletic. She could probably do that, not a problem. But let's take like a 65-year-old woman who's got pain in her knees and is overweight. A 15 minute jog is extremely stressful.
Right.
Extremely stressful. So is she going to get the same response to her body and physiology that Erica will? No.
Yeah.
No, she's going to have a very, she's going to have a stress response. So her cortisol will likely go way high, which diminishes her thyroid function, which diminishes the body's ability to detoxify. I mean, a whole cascade of things can happen. And I'm
get a surge of insulin. I mean, it's almost just like having a donut. You might as well just sit at home and have a donut.
So stressful. So, like I mentioned today, I was telling somebody else, I went for a walk this morning on the beach because I just felt like that was my exercise. That was my movement. Nice walk, dog. It was great. And I was watching this older woman be trained by a young, pretty fit looking, look like a trainer or coach. Uh-huh. And she was making this kind of overweight, middle-aged, I'm going to call her 60s woman, run.
Mm.
Beach and then doing these lunges. And if she was extremely fit and able to do it, that might be one thing, but the woman was gassed. I mean, she was gasping for air, really, really struggling. And I thought, gosh, I wish they, would just get beyond this whole more is better exercise, because there's a point where that stress level comes in and now we're doing more harm than good.
Right. And I think it's interesting how, talking about the movement and why it is important. Like I mentioned initially, there is evidence that movement is beneficial for your gut. But my second more important thing of why movement is important is because it helps us deal with stress.
Yeah.
And that is why, when you were talking about movement, your initial go-to is the stress, right? Because to me, stress as well is second or in line with moving, right? If we cannot manage that stress, or if we cannot use the exercise in a positive way to manage stress, then that's a bonus to movement. But what you're saying is exactly going against the movement importance because it's increasing your stress. We don't want to increase the stress in order to get movement, because then we've gone too far with that movement.
Yeah, for sure. To piggyback on what you're saying, I want to call out one other article that I found. And this one was from 2017. Let me see what the journal is. Oxidative Medicine and Cellular Longevity. And what this one said, just bumped off here, is that exercise modifies the gut microbiota with positive health effects. That's the title of this paper. And basically what they're saying is that when, I'll read one passage here, gut microbiota is involved in the barrier functions and in the maintenance of its homeostasis. And so considering the microbiota ability to respond to homeostatic and physiological changes, some researchers propose that it can be seen as an endocrine organ. So what they're talking about here is the basically gut-brain connection, and how it influences the microbiota. So, you know, again, like we're looking at the flip side now and another perspective in terms of how we can classify whether an exercise is good or bad is perhaps how we feel about it. Is it stressful to us?
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to weigh that in, because again, movement is proven that it is beneficial to that homeostasis, to bringing you out of dysbiosis and all that. But we can't just treat the one thing and forget the other. And that's why working with somebody like you or like me is so important, because we're not going to drive you over to the one end to deal with that and cause a different issue. And we understand that, again, your homeostasis is different than mine. And to reach that, it'll take different things, because we're in different places.
Yeah, I think that's the importance of people working with, you know, a practitioner of some sort. And I'm going to say health coach, because if you see a physician, their job is not to, you know, treat people so much as individuals. They're treating a disease.
Right.
And they know that, you know, exercise is good for health and a certain diet might be good for health in general. But I don't think that they have enough time with a person to dig into enough about them to know what's good. So it's like this blanket approach. Whereas I think when you're working with maybe, you know, I don't know if a naturopath might even do that, but
I think functional medicine doctors would definitely, yeah. You know, if you have big issues, I always say, you know, you should go see a functional medicine doctor. And that doesn't mean that they're going to have the time for you to address you as a health coach, but you know, there are clients where I would suggest seeing a functional medicine doctor and still work with me on the other stuff, because, you know, a lot of also what I do is I take some of that stress away from my client to, you don't have to think about what you're going to eat, because it's already, you know, provided for you, that menu or the planning or the, I can generate your agenda, your daily activity. You know, that causes stress at the beginning until you actually, like, it becomes a routine and all of that. And the doctor's not going to work with you on that, whether you're on functional medicine or you're a nutritionist, you're not going to work with that.
Yeah. And one other thing I want to mention, and because I've been researching it, is when what I've learned a lot about is that people are often exercising to lose weight, right? They are, that's their intention. And so if you look at one of the reasons why people have a hard time losing weight is because of their metabolism, but specifically their thyroid function. So one thing that happens a lot is, especially women, and especially as we age because of other hormones, the thyroid function pretty much takes a nosedive. And one of the big pieces is that their T4 stops converting into T3. And so they become low in T3, which is the fat burning and metabolic hormone. And guess what inhibits T3? Stress. Stress and stress hormones. So estrogen, you know, cortisol.
Increase in cortisol. Yeah,
all these things. So
and then that cascades to your diabetes and your weight gain.
So
stress is definitely important.
So I used to say, you know, well, you could, when I started to figure this out, I knew I was getting better results with less cardio, but I actually did not know why. And it has something to do with stress, but I think this is the key, is that stress is going to inhibit your thyroid function, which is the key hormone really when it comes to your body's ability to metabolize and use fat, burn fat.
Yeah. And I'm going to say one more thing before I move on to the next point, is that a lot of what's out there, like you said, is because the research is for males. So we as women, we don't have enough to grasp onto because that research is not done for us. So we almost have to go on an island on ourselves to try this out and see what works. Where's our threshold?
Yeah, that's why I like the personal experience and seeing this work in practice is even better.
I see a lot of what people do with their exercise once they go on these, like, I'm going to do something. We yo-yo diet, yo-yo exercise. And we harm our bodies in the same way as they go into this stress, and it's not helping your metabolic system to do that. It's just stressing you out. The diet, the exercise, you shock your body and then you overload your systems on your willpower and then you're done. And then you go back to everything. And that's, you know, it actually perpetuates and it makes that yo-yo diet even worse to me, that exercise.
100%. So. And I've had a lot of clients that come to me where they are stuck, they cannot lose weight. They've been doing a cardio, like an hour long cardio workout every day, or sometimes two, and they just cannot lose weight. And, you know, it's yes, they probably need to eat more, but I see so much more clearly now based on not just the literature, but also what I've seen in people.
Practice.
And my own experience that the more is not better. And if you continue to flog yourself with too much exercise, you're going to keep going down that path and get worse. So more inflammation, more weight gain. Now you're damaging your thyroid, which prevents you from detoxifying all that estrogen. So now you gain even more fat, and fat holds toxins. And now we're getting more toxins in the body that inflames the gut even more. And just look out. Now we are just going down this path, barreling down this path of gut damage and everything that goes along with that.
Yeah, and you're carrying the inflammation in your joints, and you're running on your joints, and you're ruining your joints even worse, and you're losing muscle, you're not gaining muscle. I mean, it is. Yeah, I agree.
But we're not saying don't exercise though.
Right. No, for sure. So with that said, then we can go on to our next point, which is, what in the world do we do then? What do you do? What do you tell your clients to do? What is the recommendation in as broad spectrum as we can go?
Well, I can tell you that the recommendations, if you were to ask your physician what the recommendations are, they're going to tell you it's 150 minutes of exercise per week, which is approximately 30 minutes a day of what though? So if you go to your doctor and they say, are you getting 30 minutes of exercise a day? I guarantee you most people are going to say no, because they're not on a treadmill for 30 minutes a day. But are you walking? Are you doing some other form of movement? So I think that thought has to change a little bit. And also maybe doing the right movement for our body. So I don't know about you, Erica, but for me, it's low intensity, walking, swimming, a bike ride, playing with the dogs and the kids, and just moving. I told you gardening in the beginning, because I think gardening is a
way too many tomatoes, girl.
My son and I were picking tomatoes this week, and it was like, man, what, I was exhausted from that. I was really starting
like necklaces with them or something.
Oh my God, they're so insane. So, I mean, and then yesterday, I know you are lucky enough to live by the ocean too, but I put on my swim fins and I swim out here in the Pacific, and it is calming. And at the same time, I get out, my legs are exhausted because of the fins. Like, there's so many things that I think one can do, but it should be depending on your level of conditioning. I know a lot of my clients do a 15-minute workout and that is it, and a walk. So that's kind of where I like to sit. And of course, I mean, some strength training exercise is super good. Keep your muscles firing. And but I don't think we have to kill ourselves. I love Pilates and body weight exercises and occasionally a heavier lift.
Yeah, I think that's great. The point that you bring with going to the doctor and them telling you need, 150 minutes of exercise. If we go all the way back in our minds to the beginning of this episode, I defined what maybe the medical community determines as exercise or a physical activity, right? So that is a conversation that the doctor does not say, and then maybe they don't even know, you know, what it is that they determine as exercise, but that is certainly not explained mostly to the patients, right? So an exercise, again, if they want you to exercise, that means that they want you to, if they're following the guideline, they want you to have a planned and structured, repetitive, intentionally move me, right? So a lot of the things that you said with the gardening and all those things, that means that you're high on your physical activity. You don't have a sedentary lifestyle, and those things, any physical activity is going to enhance our health outcome, our well-being, right? Because the more we move, the better it is. But I definitely try to myself and for my clients encourage and emphasize the importance of exercise, the importance of you determining a time for yourself, right? Yeah. Where you are mentally saying, this is something for me that's going to benefit me, because it addresses stress, it addresses responsibility mm-hmm. and commitment to a change. So I always say, yes, I do like the 30 minutes a day. But I always hear the same complaint from everybody and from myself as well. I never have time. Yeah. 30 minutes is a long time. So I specify that those 30 minutes don't have to be at the same time.
Right.
You can do 10 minutes in the day. You can do 10 minutes in the middle of the day. You can do 10 minutes at the end of the day after you eat dinner. So I certainly say 30 minutes a day is super, super important, especially with sedentary clients. Mm-hmm. I like to split it up.
Yeah.
I like to tell them, because I want them to move throughout the day. It encourages that physical activity. It encourages them to reduce their sedentary life as they move through the program. So 30 minutes for sure. And then after that, then we start working out other things. You know, when we can do a 30 minute solid, when they can find that time, especially I encourage people to do it early in the morning on a fasting time. You know, I like that to be done. Then it's, you know, there's, again, the research can be skewed and you can look at it, but there's certain evidence that, you know, you benefit more, even your yeah. gut will benefit more when it's done at that point. So for me, that's what I do. I at least get 30 minutes a day. And then I do, you know, either a Shavasana yoga routine or planks or abs. My son plays soccer. And so he does like 15 squats in the morning and 15 squats at night. And I'm like, well, I'm going to get on the bandwagon. You know, so I'm doing that. And if he's doing abs, I'll do them with him. My youngest is learning how to swim. So we take him to the pool and I go and I swim with him and active, you know, I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking all day.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Cooking with clients, cooking for my family. It doesn't matter. So yeah, I stand a lot of the time. I can't sit for very long.
I think people are going to ask, what is the best exercise to do for gut health or overall health? So I want to highlight a couple of the things. Maybe we can highlight the outcomes, so the goals of the exercise mm-hmm. and maybe the things that we want to avoid, so people can kind of think more within those confines rather than what's the perfect exercise, right? Because there's a million different things you could do. So if we were to look at what do we really want to get out of our exercise? We talked about moving the joints to keep yep. lymphatic fluid flowing and generally all of our fluids of the body.
Aiding detoxing and all that.
Right, detox. Second one would be to mobilize glucose and using our muscles, right?
Yep. So
some sort of, you know, body weight is weight.
So resistance. That's
exercise of some sort.
Planks, squats, yeah. sit-ups, any of those people, go for them.
Heavy things, all sorts of stuff for that. And then also increased respiration. So if we're increasing, and I like this thought because when we breathe deeper, we actually turn on our rest and digest or our parasympathetic nervous system as opposed to
vagus nerve activation.
Right. So as opposed, if you think people, if you're sitting there all day at your desk, for example, you're breathing very shallow.
Yep.
And we're constantly living in the stressed state or the sympathetic state or the fight or flight state, all the same thing. But all you need to do is increase respiration and
yes.
take deep breaths. And that actually shifts you right over into the parasympathetic state, which lowers your inflammation, lowers cortisol, all the things that we're looking for in your hormones, really. So I think that breathing piece, you know, is important. Like moving enough that that your respiration is increased. Not that you have to be gassed out like the lady on the beach, but
exactly.
Breathing more, you noticeably have to.
Yeah, and you can actually do the, you know, I don't know if you have seen Hoffman, the Iceman.
Yes, yes.
You know, he talks about, you can do those short readings, you can reduce your pH in your blood, and you can increase, you know, your immunity and help all of your systems as well. And that's actually cardio work that you can do while sitting down at your desk. You know, you might sound a little funny to other people, but who cares?
And lastly, like if you're in a really stressed state, then you should be doing, you know, things that help to reduce stress, like low intensity walking. You know, I don't know that CrossFit is going to be the best thing for someone who's in a stressed state or that has thyroid problems or that has a
Cycle Bar or these like Orange Theory, and nothing against those. I think they're fine if you're in that level, but yeah, they're probably not the place where I would send somebody who's just starting to get exercise. I mean, even me, I mostly walk, but I do jog every once in a while, but I listen to my body, you know. If it doesn't feel right at that point, I'll just walk. You know, there's nothing wrong with walking.
Yeah. Walking, yeah. And also, you know, I've been doing yoga my whole life, essentially since I was about 18. And I've been a teacher up until last year. I was teaching yoga too. And through all of our work and things that I studied with yoga is that it really comes down to, yes, moving your body, but you move slowly and you use your muscles and you use your breath. You're not trying to like run a marathon here on your mat. You're just trying to like calm things down. And most of the benefits that people get physically from yoga are the calming of the nerves, the dropping of their stress hormones, and putting them back to that parasympathetic state. So if you look at yoga, you know, it's been around 5,000 or so years, and a lot of people get a lot of health benefits from it, but it's not because they're working really hard. I always would cringe at these intense, super intense, you know, yoga workouts where it's like power yoga, which is super fun. It's fun, but it's not doing what yoga was intended to really do. I mean, it'll build strength and make you sweat. But maybe we need to stay in something more like yin yoga or moving a little slower and using your body and your strength and still moving and breathing, but the level of intensity is a lot less.
And I say, if you're going to spend $3,000 on something, whether it is on a Peloton bike or something like that, I say, go online and look for the Carol bike. Have you heard about the Carol bike?
I haven't. What's that?
Carol is AI technology. And you get on the bike and she reads you. And your workout is a 5-minute workout. And within 3 months, you get 12% increase of metabolic health.
Wow, that's cool.
So there is nothing out there that can do that for it. And they're working on uploading the program for it to be 3.5 minutes. If you're going to have a bike in your house and you're going to spend this amount of money, that is where I put my money on, because people's limits are always time.
Yeah. That's
so true. Anything that can reduce your time, you're spending $3,000 on a Peloton, you have to pay a monthly on it. You have to make 20 minutes for the class, and you're already making the space and the financial. I'm all about, in that sense, biohacking my time, because my time is precious. If I have extra time and I can get the same benefit of just doing 5 minutes of exercise a day, then I would do even 30 minutes. I have 25 minutes to meditate or color or paint or bake something that I can make into a Planned Parenthood, low lectin approved or something. Like, I mean, I'm freeing out 25 minutes of my time to do something else, and I'm still getting the same benefit or more. That's where I put my money in.
Over exercising is really an issue. It really is a thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I love this. I think we've really summarized for people. I hope we get some questions on this to answer, but I think we really summarized that, you know, exercise is great, but it doesn't have to be the commonly thought of exercise, hitting a gym, running tons of miles.
And it doesn't have to be perfect either. Like, everybody's like, oh, I have to have the perfect outfit, or I have to go to the perfect gym, or I have to have the perfect bike and the perfect shoes. And hey, put some shoes on and go walk.
Yeah. Movement.
It's okay.
In your limits. I think that's a really good point. All right. Awesome. This was a really great show. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. Anything else to add, Erica? Any last comments?
No, I mean, I'm so happy to continue to do this. I am looking forward to any questions that we may get, any recommendations, obviously. And we have a lot more episodes coming. We are working on some guests. Mm-hmm. And so I really hope that everybody keeps enjoying them, and we'll talk soon.
More good stuff to come.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Welcome to the Trust Your Gut podcast with Erica Smith and Nicole Carter. In this show, we'll be sharing with you everything we've learned about gut health and everything that you can do to make it better. We'll be sharing our stories from personal experiences, client success stories, as well as the new and relevant science to gut health. We hope you enjoy the show.